The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Our Father, we thank you. We thank you for corn feasts. We thank you for that desire in your heart for man to have your life. And not just have it, but have it in full. Lord, of that supply we receive tonight, we receive great torrent of understanding. We receive great effulgence of light. That your light will flood our hearts, and your love will truly be shed abroad in our hearts. And that your blood of brotherhood will flow in our veins. That after this feast, we will be able to enjoy the blessedness of brotherhood. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. We say a powerful amen. The death that the enemy brought to man is a death of mixture. When Satan deceived man, what he did to man was not to take man from where God put him, but to mix up his own life with what God has given man. And that's why in every time, in every season, Satan always likes to bring his own mixture to what God is doing. He's not stopping us from going to church. Neither is he stopping us from being born again. No. But he's stopping us from inheriting the purity of God's life. That is the discipline of the enemy. That's his profession. Hallelujah. And that's why he desires the seat, a seat in God's house. He doesn't want to be outside. He wants to be in God's house. If he was an enemy outside, it would be easier to defeat. But he's an enemy in the house of God. Over the years, he has been able to overcome souls. But you see, the blessedness of the coming of the Son of God. It's not just that the Son of God came. No. The blessedness is that that Son will give man an overcoming understanding. That we give man God's life, not just in a measure, but fully. Can you say amen? Amen. I say you will have God's life, not only in a measure, but you will have it fully. Hallelujah. Let's see John chapter 14. I will take the reading from verse 2. We'll just share a few thoughts. Hallelujah. In verse 2 and 3. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3 is my focus. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It means that the essence of the coming of Christ is to ensure that man can be where he is. When I say man, I want you to put yourself in that gap. The essence of Christ's coming, or the coming of the Son, is to ensure that everyone that believes in him should be able to journey to the place where he prepared in his Father. He said, I go and prepare a place. It means that in that whole economy called the Father, It's not everywhere that the blessing resides. There is a place where the blessing resides. And that is the labor of the Son, to ensure that everyone that believes in him should be able to journey to that exact place. The essence of our being born again is not just to come to church, serve God, give him what is his own, as much as we understand, and live a good life, and then die a good death. It's to use that time on this side of existence to journey to a place. And the only one who knows that place is the Son. He said, if I go and prepare a place, I will come again. Say, I will come again. That is coming again. It's not rapture. It's coming again. It's to give you a light or an understanding that will make accessing that place possible. How do we know that this place is not a natural location? The place in the Father is not a natural location. John chapter 1, that should be verse 18. Give me verse 18 of John chapter 1. Hurry up. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Are you seeing the place now? The place is called bosom of the Father, hath declared him. I ask myself, if he's the bosom of the Father, why doesn't he, if he's a physical place, why doesn't he need declaration? It's because that place, to assess that place, is by teaching. Declare. Without the declaration of the Son, you can't get to this bosom of the Father. And if you don't get to the bosom of the Father, see, it's not a choice. Me, I don't want bosom. I'm only okay with leg. I'm okay with being in the hand. If I can just, you know, long time ago, I met one woman that said, if she can just be a gate man in heaven, just gate man, at least she has entered. Enter. You know, some people say, if they can just be watering the flower in heaven, at least they have entered. No. The place that God prepared is in his bosom. And that bosom is not like you are thinking it. If not, they will not say, if the Son is declaring it, it means that it's something you can come into here on it. So the Son is declaring a part of the Father. And it is that part that can remove perishing. John 3:16, we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Are you seeing that there's a kind of Son that can declare him? The only begotten Son, or the Son that has embodied fullness of his love. Because Daddy taught us some time ago, he said, God is love. God is not loving because it's a commandment to him. Mm-mm. He himself is love. His person is love. And the begotten Son embodied that love fully. But you see, this begotten Son can be seen, can be understood. In fact, he wants himself. He said, I will come and take you to myself. Which means he is that bosom. The begotten Son is that place. But you can't have the begotten Son until you journey to that place. And you see what that place does is to deliver man from perishing. Say, for that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It means that until we journey to that place, it's still possible to perish. Hallelujah. So the Father, or the bosom of the Father, or the begotten Son, is an understanding. 1 John chapter 5 said that, verse 20. He said, the Son of God is come. We know that the Son of God, this Son is the begotten Son, is come and has given us what? An understanding. Say understanding. That is one thing that is a very high commodity here. Understanding. And that is what Satan does not want us to labor in. Don't labor in understanding. Go to church, observe laws, observe instructions, sweep, do, observe some rudiments, and just be fine. No. In doing that, you must have an understanding. Without that understanding, perishing cannot stop. That we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true. Even his son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Hallelujah. And that is why Jesus got to a point in his journey and began to pray for these people that have followed him for 3 years. And he has come to love them so much. Began to pray to his father. He said, make them one as we are one. That prayer is make them to be able to journey to where we are. Let them come into the realm of our love. Without journeying to that point, brethren, I keep saying, perishing cannot be dealt with. And that is why we've seen many moves of God that the enemy has taken over. That started very well. You know, on Wednesday, Daddy was painting a lot of pictures that was wonderful to me. Many of us can't attend some churches today, even if they invite you, because we believe Jesus is not there. But there was a time that Jesus was there. Jesus expressed himself in those places. It looks as if Jesus has been banished from there today. But it was not like that originally. If we don't journey to the bosom of the beloved Son or the begotten Son, we will also become like that in some years' time. Those people did not desire it. It can happen to anybody. But it will not happen to us in Jesus' name. And that is why we must always keep the feast. This feast is a feast of knowing how to die and resurrect. Said, except a grain of wheat falls to the ground and does what? It abides alone. But if it does what? If it dies, if it falls to the ground and dies, what will happen? It bringeth forth. I like this scripture. It didn't say it brings forth fruit. Because the essence of the seed is to get to much. And that's why don't stop your journey until you come into abundant life. Don't be okay with having life alone. Because your destiny is to bear forth much fruit. And that's why anything you are eating tomorrow, in fact, starting from this evening, today now we are going to eat of much fruit after this meeting, right? As you are taking each bite, receive grace to die and resurrect. The theme of this meeting is our brotherhood. You know, some time ago, somebody accused me and said, you are behaving like you are in a cult. Now, he said, the way you talk about your church, the way you behave about this Jesus you have believed in, you be as if nobody believed it before you. This must be a cult. But, well, it's a brotherhood. That's not the first time it will be said to anybody. In fact, that cannot even be the first or second time. The first person that was said about was Jesus. Right? He said, except you eat my flesh or drink my blood, you have no part in me. And the whole church scattered. Except the ordained pastors. Imagine now we're having a meeting and Daddy begins to preach and people begin to leave from the back. And at the end of the whole message, in fact, the message has never ended. It's only pastors that are sitting in front. And Jesus kept teaching, kept emphasizing. In fact, that's one of the longest chapters in John. He kept saying it. It's not possible to have the life that I have if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's the same law of you have to die and come into resurrection. Because, you know, the essence of dying is not that God enjoys your death. It is that there is a life that you can't have if you don't share this one you have. But the blindness we have is to think that the life we have now is the life we can all have. or is the highest we can have. You know, it's a blindness. Satan keeps telling us you can't be better. Just be a good Christian. You are okay like this. Most of the people hearing me today, if not all of you, you have believed in Jesus. If not, you will not be here. But the essence of your believing has to be that you come to much fruit. Don't be like that corn that only has 5 seeds. Nobody likes to open a corn, remove the husk, labor, remove it, and you meet only 5. So don't stay with the Jesus you know. Look for more Jesus. Look for more. Because when you stand before God that day, it is what you have used of his understanding that he will drink of. And don't give God little when you could have given him much. Hallelujah. Let's say amen. So the essence of our believing is to break into brotherhood. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, if you don't love yourself the way I love you, the world will not know that I am in you. You see, he prayed to the Father, but that was not enough. He had to tell them. In fact, he described it. He removed his clothes. He washed their feet. Wash your feet. That was just examples of how to die. You see this issue of, as I was looking at this matter, brotherhood, and Daddy was teaching on Wednesday. You see, if you cannot see Jesus in other believers and love them just like you will love your natural brother, as much as that, then you have done what he said. Go to chapter 2 of 1 John. Okay? Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and does what? Hated his brother is in darkness even until now. That means that this person was not in darkness before. But darkness later caught up with him. The same darkness that he was delivered from later caught up with him. He that loveth his brother abideth in light. In the light. And there is none occasion. I want you to look at it. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. Pause. It means that in our brotherhood, and that's why God could have arranged it on the earth that people do not need family, natural family. Natural family is teaching us about our spiritual family. Do you know that in natural family, your natural family is the place, if they count offense that they've offended you in your natural family, that's the place you will have most measure. Hello? Especially if you have maybe 5 or 6 siblings. Offense is par excellence. Every day is normal. But do you know what? Because of that thing we call blood, not the red pigment. Because our parents told us that you are of the same blood, so you have to still forgive each other. Are you seeing that thing continues? They keep teaching us. There is none occasion of stumbling. It means that this person has passed through different occasions that he could have stumbled, but he chose not to. He could have rejected his brother. He chose not to. He kept loving Jesus in his brother. And this brother that he said on Wednesday is not the member of your church. Or does not mean he's only the member of your church. As far as they are members of the body of Christ, you owe them love. They may not speak in tongues like you. They may not dress like you. But you owe them love and you can never finish paying it. Our brotherhood is not by church caption. Our brotherhood is deeper than that. Our brotherhood is defined by the blood of Christ. And that blood must become thicker than our natural blood. Because actually it's thicker. Because it's much more long-lasting. Hallelujah. You know why some of our mothers are still on the mountains praying that some of us should get born again? Because they know by the little light they have that if you don't believe in Jesus that they believe in, this earth is the end of your communion. Once you transcend to the other side, that's the end. But there is another blood that can break through the veil of human flesh. And that is the blood we must sow to more. You know, a good businessman will know how to look for cheaper commodity, right? When you are in business, you don't go and buy your market from where it's more expensive. Abby, will you see where somebody is selling this phone in a shop? You go there, you price the same phone, the same make, the same everything. They say it's 150,000. Wow. It's a good price. But let me go and come back. And then you just hit another shop in the corner of the market and say, ah, you can bring 135. Will you go back to 150? So you see, he that sows to the flesh, we reap of the flesh corruption. There's another place to sow to. There's another blood you sow to. That what you will harvest, you can't compare it to flesh. Some of us, if your parents call that you need money, you may not even pay tithes. They need money. You may not pay your tithes. You start working, you start a new job. The first person you remember is your mother. She has suffered for me. Did I say you should not love your mother? No. You are supposed to give for corn feast. But your sister is doing birthday. And you have to send birthday gifts. So you use corn feast money for birthday gifts. Eh? Hallelujah. The blood of Christ must be interpreted to us. You must begin to see Jesus in people's hearts. You must begin to see Jesus beyond this casing of the flesh. And when you meet anyone who has Jesus, who loves Jesus, who fears him, no matter in any measure, you should have a level of allegiance to that person. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's see chapter 4 of that John, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Is a good place to sow your seed, sow your time, sow your money, sow your heart, sow your life in the love of God. It will never come back to you the same. He that loveth not God, for God is love. If you love those who love you back only, Jesus said, of what gain is that? Of what difference are you from the unbelievers? In fact, the people we love are those who love us, like our natural siblings, our parents, our natural affiliations. We are not different from animals. Because you see some animals, the way they take care of their little ones, as if they are more than that. So you have not done better if you only love your natural brother or sister. You are just like a dog or a goat that takes care and loves his own. That's normal. It's expected. But the one that you gain from is the one that you don't have anything naturally to gain back. And that is why Daddy has been saying it. I feel I should give this example here again. When our brethren travel out, don't sow to them because you will reap back. Don't send new month message. Don't call them. Don't show love because of what you get back. Don't tell them, I prayed for you yesterday. Keep your prayer to yourself. Don't share revelation of how the Lord showed you things about them. Pray about it. Keep it. Let it end between you and God. Because you know that something will always come back. When you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But anyone that sows to the Spirit, you will of, it is a law. You keep a law, you are blessed by that law. Hallelujah. So the labor tonight is that you will love. You will be break into that dimension of God's love. You know, that's why you will not police a sister in church. Do you know that? Do you know that it's because of this love you will not be angry if you hear that the sister that you have been discussing with pastor with, and pastor keeps saying, be praying. Be praying. Then you now hear that he just announced her on one Sunday after 2 or 3 months. Say, maybe they should have just told me. Maybe they should have just told me. Then you leave church because of that. Your love is sour. You should love her enough to rejoice with her. You should love her enough to congratulate your brother who married her. And love him. And don't become a spiritual police of the family because she was your first love. That thing will not survive here. Heaven will fish you out. You cannot love in the flesh and reap righteousness. Hallelujah. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. When God loved, he gave his love. When you love, you sacrifice. Any love that does not make you sacrifice without expecting in return is not true. And the Lord will purify our love in this season. So we have one culture in Confis. We say any first thing you do, you labor in the feast. Whether it's corn you roasted or you boiled corn. We are going to be in different departments tomorrow. Anything you do that is your first fruit of your labor, go and give it to somebody you don't naturally like. And we have used that to teach ourselves love over the years. I will end on this note. You know, I looked at Pastor Fola today, and in my heart is full of so much love for him. I remembered many years ago when I looked at him, I see nothing to like. He's not my kind of physique of man. His person makes my skin crawl. Yes. Then Daddy began to give commandments. Started from LFP. Then Confis was the death. Actually, Confis is death. This one we are rejoicing in the feast. There was a time people will be giving corn and they'll be crying. You know, you are giving corn to the person you don't like. And the person say, thank you. I want to even hug you. And you will have to receive the hug. You receive the hug in the name of Jesus. You see, after, when we are used to receiving commandments and instructions, the first time I greeted him, I shook him. You look like I should pull my hand back. And Daddy said we should not. So, well, you know, when you leave it there and like, you are counting the minutes. And it's the person that will just hold your hand there. Oh, Pastor Fola, we just hold your hand. Oh, my God. In those days, Pastor Fola can, he wants to say, you look beautiful. He will route and describe your shoe. And everything he's saying, honestly, But in staying with him, I'm discovering that I can't do without you, Pastor Fola. I love him so much. And many of us have crossed a lot of points like that. The essence of the feast is that you see Jesus. Tonight, tomorrow, say, I will see Jesus. I want you to say that prayer in your heart like you mean it. Like you mean it. Jesus, I want to see you. Much more than I've ever seen you, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to experience you. I want to embrace you. I want to feel your warmth. I want to feel your life. In the name of Jesus.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.